This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning. Alan Ellis here with the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Second hour. I want to thank Brian Farlow for his production duties here this morning. Brian's been up straight since his overnight duty on Wednesday night. He hasn't had a wink of sleep, so he's been up about, 72 hours straight, right, Brian? On the board most of the time. So you're truly the one that keeps the station on the air throughout the entire blizzard process. So. All right. Well, maybe that wasn't quite the whole truth, but you were here you were away from home a couple nights. So we do appreciate that. Thank you very much. And for those of you who are calling now at 410-922-6680 or 1-800-922-6680, you get to talk to Nick. And if, he answers the phone and you hear snoring, that would be normal. But right now we got Paul Piavas on the phone. Good morning, Paul. Back again for a second return trip here about perch fishing.
Yeah. Sound like you had a pretty lively first hour there.
We tried, man. We tried. We tried to get the folks to participate. And disappointing in hearing people saying, the process, the fix is in. I know as a fisheries manager that that's not always the case, and things do change. And sometimes you actually get through to some of the people in the General Assembly, but it's not an easy row.
Well, and you. As far as the fisheries comments that you made there at the end, I was just getting ready to jump up out of my seat and start yelling at listen to you on the computer here.
What'd I say?
Yeah, well, you hit it right on the nose, right on the head there. That a lot of the constituents are fragmented, and a lot of the stuff is out there. You just have to make a little bit of
effort
of it. You have to keep your ears open.
Yeah, and protect your own self-interest.
Get information out. I know that. But,
well, your web
and in fisheries also. You mentioned the Tidal Fish Advisory Commission and the Sport Fish Advisory Commission, but you also think too within each one of those advisory commissions there are, I won't say fragmentations. That sounds confrontational. There are, different segments.
Diverse.
In the Sport Fish Advisory Commission, you have your freshwater interests, your bay interests.
Your tidal interests. Sure. Yeah. Understood. Yeah.
And it's tough for them, I'm sure, to, they don't know every freshwater fisherman.
No.
In Frederick County or Garrett County.
No, they don't. Exactly right.
It is a pretty difficult process, and that's...
No question. But you also have organizations of fishing clubs that are represented on those advisory commissions by commissioners who are, high-ranking members of those organizations. And when they don't take the information that's presented in the meetings or given to them in advance of the meetings to their organizations and get the feedback from their constituents, you might be a commissioner and your organization might have, and this is fishing or hunting, you might have 5, 6, 8, 10, 15 chapters across the state. And every one of those chapters has leadership. And if you're not getting those messages out to the leadership and the leadership's not getting the message out to their membership and the membership's not getting back to the leadership and the leadership's not getting back to the commissioner, whose fault is that? It's not fisheries' fault. If a regulation goes into effect with no public comment, we heard on we'll use a three rod thing for example. We heard from the folks at involved. There were two public meetings. There were 10 people at one, and there were less than 10 people at a public meeting in Annapolis, and in Western Maryland there were none. There were no people at the public meetings to discuss changes in regulations. Now, that word was out on the website and should have been out in these forums. You know, all these forums that are out there, people want to weigh in. Like we always say, it's the same 10 people that comment back and forth and moan and groan and point fingers and nothing gets done, you know. And whose responsibility is it? I mean, it seems to me like the department has done its due diligence to get the word out. And you're not commenting, and I don't expect you to.
So. No. It's not that. I didn't know that was the end of your comment.
I think
everything that you said, you're bringing up the point that, you know, there's never perfect communication. Otherwise, we wouldn't need committees and commissions and public hearings. But, it's a step, and everybody involved in whichever issue, you can take.
Now, what I will say,
three wide limit, we can take what's happened there, and our senior management team is very good at looking at what has happened and what we're going to take the next step. So, we can do everything possible that people are informed of these. We don't like. I mean, I can't imagine that anybody over at Annapolis.
It's not the department's job to hold the hand of the commissioner and walk them through the process that they should naturally be doing on their own and getting back to their leadership and their constituents in their organizations that they represent. It's not your job to hold their hand and tell them that they have to do this. It's their job to say, hey, I represent a constituency of 5 chapters and 300 members or 800 members or 1,000 members or whatever we're bragging about that we have, and these are the issues that I need to take back to my people. People, we need to hear back from you so we can make a presentation back to the department as to what your opinions are.
Speaking of hearing back from people.
Yes, sir.
There's a thing called a Yellow Perch Volunteer Angler Survey.
Yes, there is. Let's change the subject. All right. I like the way you did that.
How you like that one?
Ah, perfect, man. Go ahead. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we had such a good conversation last week that we didn't hit on a couple things.
Okay.
That I'd like to revisit here. Yeah, we have a volunteer angler survey that's accessible for several different species. And there have been some changes that I touched on last week that I believe, anyway, that you previously had to register for each species. Now you just register once, and you go into whichever species you're fishing for, and you put your entry in.
Right.
Yellow Perch Angler Survey started in 2008, and we had really, really good participation. And that has really, really dropped to fairly low levels. We had 40 anglers submit entries last year with only 72 trips covering 16 systems. Now that compares to 27 different systems. So if you break it down on a system by system, you know, a river by river basis, the only one that really had good representation was the Chop Tank at 23. 23 trips were registered. And the Chester, for instance, we used to get, you know, 30, 40, 50 trips from the Chester. And these last couple years, we've gotten 2 and 3, or 3 and 4, I think. And that's data that's out there that we aren't getting that, you know, would be really helpful to us.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the DNR website while we're on the air, and people are going to have to use their imaginations. Or if you're listening online, you can do this with me. Go to the DNR website, www.dnr.state.md.us, or www.dnr.maryland.gov, and click on fishing.
Right.
When you click on fishing, it comes up with a page that says Fisheries Service. If you go to the right where it says quick links in a green bar, buy a fishing license, fishing regulations, fisheries management programs, and staff directory, fish facts, boom, volunteer angler surveys. It's the sixth one down on the right side, followed by youth fishing club and everything else. So there we got that. So now we go to volunteer angler survey. You can print off the survey form and do it. And you know, there's all kinds of ways to get involved on the Volunteer Angler Survey. And here's what it says. Recreational angler, here's your chance to participate directly and help Maryland DNR characterize recreational catch and harvest. Follow the five, there are five species, striped bass, summer flounder, bluefish, yellow perch, and blue crabs. Click on the species to the right, and go to each survey and follow the instructions. And I'm looking for the species on the right. Ah, maybe that's why.
No, mine, I was on there yesterday. It was fine. My page isn't loading either. I'm doing it right along with you.
Yeah, how about that? And now we have muskellunge fishermen, too. But if you get out of the survey form, you log in with your email address and click on I'm a new user, if you like, and you can register. But I don't see, Paul, on the on that website, the species.
Yeah, are you seeing a big blank bottom?
Yeah, big blank bottom.
That's where they would normally come, and the site must be down.
Well, hey, look. Government health care is down for 62 hours on National Youth Weekend, so, you know, we...
I know it was up a couple of days ago because I looked at. But one other thing for your readers, if you're
listeners,
listeners, right?
Or both.
I'm reading, you're listening, and
yeah, go ahead.
My brain is short circuited.
That's okay.
Also, there on the right of the Volunteer Angler page.
Yeah.
There's a thing. There's a the second bullet and on their navigation is survey results.
Yep.
So the folks can see what.
Yep, I see it. Striped bass, yellow perch, black bass, SAV zone, shellfish,
yep.
Archives, maps. Okay, so, well, apparently the page is not loading correctly, so that's a good thing we did this on the air so that we can get to those folks and say, hey,
yeah,
we want people to be able to do the yellow perch survey. Where's the list?
Yep, Mom, we'll get the emails and electrons flying here after I get off the phone.
Glad we could help out, buddy. Glad we could help out.
All right, so. That and we just barely touched on a couple fishing spots, but also on that page, on the recreational page, there's the first link, quick link is where to fish. You click that, and there's an index.
Am I going back to the fisheries page?
Yeah, to the recreational tab on the fisheries page.
Okay, yep.
Okay, index of maps. Well, where can you fish?
Wait a minute, where am I, though?
On the quick links, on the right-hand side.
Buy a fishing license, fisheries management, youth fishing club, charter boats, and guides. Where do you see that?
Okay, on the did you click the recreational tab?
Oh, click the recreational. See, this is why people, this may be part of the reason. Okay, recreational.
Yep.
Where to fish. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... click where to fish.
Yep, I got that.
Then there's an index of maps. You see a big youth fishing page, and it says, where can I fish?
Yep, okay, Atlas of Maryland Boat Ramps, Fish at State Park, freshwater fishing spots, index of maps, yes.
There we go, you click that.
Okay.
And then?
Yellow perch.
There is, don't click that tab, there's yellow perch fishing spots.
Where is that?
You see the banner of tabs that you just saw further down. There's all kinds of maps.
Oh, okay. Boy.
There's shad fishing locations.
Yellow perch fishing spots. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
And our IT guys, who I'll be...
Yeah.
What's up with the Volunteer Angler Survey have posted a lot of the historic
Yellow
perch fishing spots.
I see that. Okay. Hang on, Paul.
Okay.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You, too, could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop. They give that away every year, by the way. Or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. Check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for angler awards. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check out the fishing rule book that comes with your license, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, hope so. And don't forget to stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Their big fishing sales coming up on the 28th. Yes, indeed. Oh, by the way, Clyde's just got like 100,000 rounds of .223 federal ammo. They've got it all bagged up and ready to go. I'm going to go grab a couple bags myself. So don't forget, if you're looking for .223, baby, Clyde's has got it. But anyway, that interrupted my time from talking about their fishing sale. So make sure you check it out. The 10-day sale starts February 28th, runs through March 9th. Premium monofilament line, half price. Great deals on Penn and Shakespeare, trolling rods, Fluger, Ugly Stick, St. Croix. Check it all out at Clyde Sports Shop, ClydeSports.com online, or call them 242-6108 or stop by in person, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Don't forget your .223 ammo. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto. Talking with Paul Piavas, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, about yellow perch spots, and we are on the DNR website. And what are we calling that this page, Paul? We're talking about we go to the maps and data page, right? Under recreational fishing, where to fish, and then it's maps and the maps page.
Yep, it says the index of maps.
Index of maps, and then you have useful fishing maps. And it's got trout stocking, yellow perch, shad fishing, striped bass, and we're looking at the yellow perch fishing spots right now.
Right.
And it opens up a Google map, and it's got the little yellow bullets on there, what do you call those things, by the way?
I don't know.
A little yellow.
Teardrop.
little yellow eyeball things.
Yeah.
And you click on any of those, and it opens up the spot, and it gives you opportunity to get directions from where you are.
Right.
And other things that you can do on the website. So there's a lot of nice-looking yellow perch hotspots there that, you know, there's a lot of them that people don't even think about for the most part.
Right, it might jog your memory. Of,
yeah, exactly.
I remember
when we used to fish back when. So yeah. it's a very cool map, and it's a very cool thing that you can do there. You can enlarge it, you can shrink it, and it's got 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, it looks like about 25 or more spots on the Eastern Shore, and it's got another dozen or more on the Western Shore, all up and down the bayfront for the most part, or back on the different creeks and rivers and tributaries and spillways and things like that.
Yeah, and that's another thing that a lot of yellow perch fishermen will do is you can easily plan a route,
yeah,
and spend a day, and you know, don't marry yourself to one or two spots. Just we used to say, just make the horseshoe. Just go up and
yeah,
around
you,
the
yeah,
perch,
you can
back,
you can hit all the spots throughout the different.
Back home.
Well, the thing is, if you have a tide chart, you know, a Baltimore tide chart, and you know that high tide is noon at Baltimore Harbor, and you decide you want to go up to, the Upper Eastern Shore, Sassafras or one of the tributaries up in the northern part, you know, you got 2 hours to get there before, you know, high tide hits up there. So, you can play the tide, which is cool.
Yep. I was going to say that we do, and there is a tide finder bullet on our webpage, on the fisheries webpage also, we refer to quite a bit.
There's actually a tide finder on Ellis Outdoors too, on Maryland Hunting Quarterly and on Maryland Loves Crab. So we stole that and put it on our website.
When I was looking at some of these spots in advance of the show, don't forget our state parks. I noticed that Gunpowder Falls State Park, you know, down in the on the river.
Yeah.
Was not tagged, and Elk Neck State Park was not tagged, and we've had on and off reports that people do fairly well, especially off of Gunpowder State Park.
We've sure.
Had a few reports from Elk Neck that last year that they were catching some fish off of Elk Neck. So don't forget our state parks too.
Sure, was down near Wason's Corner yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's Patuxent, I believe, isn't it?
Right, yep.
Yep, and actually a couple years ago did a electrofishing trip down there with the guys in the brand-new electrofishing boat at the time on the shad survey. Interesting area, interesting river.
Right.
If you have access to the shoreline down there, it's a great place to fish. It's almost like you're, you know, in the Appalachian Mountains somewhere. I mean, it's really a nice country down there.
Yeah, Wason's is tagged on the yellow perch hotspot.
I see
map,
that.
And there are quite a few areas there along the Patuxent in that general area where you can have access.
Sure.
And Wason's is probably the most, I don't want to say most popular, but most known, well known.
Yeah, exactly.
On the Patuxent.
Yep. But I mean, there's the yellow perch and white perch are going to be everywhere. So, okay, we're in the 50s next week. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we'll finally get back out and see what they're doing.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're not going to make any predictions, huh?
Yeah, no, I think it'll start off a little slow here. And I think, certainly the upper bay is the upper bay, you know, northeast. That ice up there is probably going to be around longer than some people would think.
Oh my! I was in Harrisburg on Sunday, and the entire Susquehanna up there, wall to wall ice, from sea to shining sea, so to speak. So, yeah. It's going to be cold water coming down through there, and ice coming all the way. You know.
Yeah. So I'm sure people want to get out, and
however,
wholeheartedly tell them, hey, if it's 50, 60 degrees, it's
however,
nice to get it. Nice to get out somewhere. Go ahead and, you know, use it as a scouting trip, if nothing else.
Well, that's what I did last week when I was delivering on Tuesday. I actually stopped by Red Bridges. I'd never been to that facility, and stopped by and drove all the way into the cul-de-sac there and found a place to park and a beautiful-looking creek there, a beautiful-looking stream, called a friend of mine and found out where they fish. And, you know, it's a easy spot to get to, so, you know, that's on my hit list. So
right, yeah, you're talking about Wason's Corner there, not quite fitting in. That's that stretch there of right there around Red Bridges. It reminds you more of a
freshwater trout stream.
Exactly. A lot of nice gravel and flow and babbling brook kind of.
Yeah, I thought I was in Western Maryland for a second, but yeah, you're right.
Yep.
So hang on. Got to take a little break. Not my fault. Sorry, this one's a contract.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Call them the hyper planners. Some couples in their 20s are putting off marriage and parenthood until after they both meet career goals, even if it means long distance dating. It's kind of like a long-term business plan. These couples look many years further into the future than their parents did, delaying starting a family so they can earn advanced degrees, explore careers, and make a blueprint for financial security. A psychology researcher at Clark University found that more young men want to be in a relationship of equals and expect to make sacrifices for a partner's plans. While some young people avoid committing to a relationship at all, there are those who encourage each other to pursue a medical or a law degree, for example, even if that means they live on opposite coasts. Working together to achieve educational and career goals tends to strengthen these couples' personal relationships, as each person says they feel supported by the other, and they say they can later move on to marriage and family without resentment. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Now here's something you don't hear on the radio every day. Someone who can't see. I am totally blind. So I go through periods when I'm unable to sleep at night. And I feel like I'm constantly running, but can never quite catch up. But this isn't a sleep problem. It's something called non-24-hour disorder. Learn more about non-24 by calling 855-856-2424 or visiting learnmorenon24.
At the tackle shop, I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buzz baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, we're back with Paul Piavas, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Chesapeake Bay Project Leader, what's your title again, Paul?
Chesapeake Finfish.
Finfish. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. I got a question from an emailer. I have to ask you, and maybe you can answer, maybe you can't speak to it. The question basically goes like this. What's being done about cat fishermen and others moving exotic and invasive species around the state and introducing them illegally into waters where they aren't now? And if that anything has been done about it, what's going to happen?
I believe it was a couple years ago, 2 years ago maybe. The regulations were more clarified and more brought to the public's public's mind. And NRP is aggressively looking for people transporting, meaning...
It's already illegal, right?
It's illegal, correct.
It's illegal to move. I'm reading this right out of the rule book. It's illegal to move live blue or flathead catfish from one body of water to another and is punishable by a fine up to $1,000. And, the question is, you know, have we caught anybody yet, and has anything been done about it? I guess that's
that
the
I
question.
Do not know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that I don't know.
Yeah.
You'd have to query NRP about that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any. I know we had a instance in one river system where a commercial fisherman thought that somebody had been moving blue cats around, and NRP was on it like that.
Yeah.
So this is nothing that's taking a backseat to anything. I mean, this is, you talk about, you know, what can really impact an ecosystem. These have the potential to do that. So
right. For anybody that's interested, page 32 in the guide, that Maryland Fishing Guide 2014, the book that allegedly comes with your license, or should be accompanying your license, and it talks about not only invasive catfish, but snakeheads and crayfish and others. So, you know, that's on that page to answer that question, I guess. So, but yeah, you're saying it's an enforcement issue. Fisheries has, I mean, you have the laws on the books, so it's an enforcement issue at this point.
Oh, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, they seem to be on top of it.
I haven't read anybody's name on the air that I know of that's been charged with any of that stuff.
Right.
So. Anyway, let's get back to yellow perch. You were mentioning something before we went to the break.
Yeah, I was just quickly calling in today just to say rehash some of the or go back to the fishing spots. We kind of got
shortchanged
last week. But yeah, when you mentioned red bridges too, when things run right across the street, the Greensboro ramp can be very good.
Ah, okay.
Now, I mean, there's three spots right there within, you know, 2 miles where you can, you know, have a more than reasonable chance of doing some good there. But on the other side, on the western shore there, we mentioned possibly Gunpowder Falls State Park. But right up the way, another area that's usually pretty good is up in Joppa Town, Mariner Point Park.
Right,
that's pretty popular, easy to get to, and I know where they are. I know people fish there, but I don't know how to get there. Up there, at the head of the Gunpowder, they call them the gravel ponds.
Gravel ponds, yeah. Yep.
People do very well in there. Some nice-sized fish.
Yep.
You can see them on the map. You know, they're kind of, it's kind of like Bell Grove, where they're kind of
obscured.
They're all interlaced with tidal influence.
Yeah.
That's another pretty reasonable area that's close to a lot of your listeners.
Yeah.
At times, Magathie Beechwood Park can be pretty good.
Okay.
And again, it's the usual suspects: Northeast Park and Community Park there when we get the ice out of the way, and Perryville and a lot of other opportunities. That
now,
are very
now
close
the
to.
Northeast Park, that's usually the Yellow Perch Rodeo up there coming up here shortly, I would guess.
Yeah, it's usually the first or second weekend to March there.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we'll keep that in mind. And that's one of the, I believe that's still or was one of the DNR events where they actually choose a young angler to participate in the fishing challenge. So,
cool.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, I know that that's geared a lot towards youth anglers.
Yeah. So,
good to see them having a good time.
You like to see the kids having a good time, no question about it. Yep. So. Very good.
All right, Alan.
All right, Paul. Well, I appreciate you calling in today. Wait, before you leave, though, we got to play this little song. Since you're over there in Caroline County, we got to play this for you.
I drive a John Deere tractor. Yeah, I work these fields, sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. Remington 870 pump is in my pickup truck. On the gun rack, and that's where she stays. I got a bumper sticker, says there ain't no light west of the Chesapeake Bay. I drink Budweiser beer in the 10-ounce can. Us locals call it the shore thing. I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA.
That's for you, Paul.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
I was going into work a couple days ago before the snow, and you know, divided highway on 50, and there's a big John Deere combine going my way. I'm thinking, you know, people that just kind of came over to the shore from someplace else and saw that would probably be scratching their head.
But, yeah, exactly. But hey, buddy, it is what it is. So,
yep.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Thanks for calling in and helping us out finding some perch spots. So we'll let you know how that all works out.
Okay, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for getting word out about the angler survey.
The angler survey. Thanks. And don't forget to fix that page.
Yeah, well, as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to shoot an email.
There you go. Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
There he goes. There he goes, Paul. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I think we'll take our final break and then get to the calls. We got Clyde Sports Shop's fishing season kickoff sale coming up Saturday, February 28th through Sunday, March 9th, premium mono line. Just take your spools in, like I did. They'll wind line on there for half price. I paid full price because I wanted to beat the crowds. So I went down the other day, and I had premium line put on three spools. I got another one to go, but they're great. They'll put the line on there for you and do it the right way to make sure everything's good. You can talk about fishing while you're there. You can talk about how to rig up. Old Jim, he's got some secret techniques for perch and everything else. But don't forget, they've got the pinreels coming up on special on the 28th, GTI 330s, trolling reel. That's got a level wind, and it's a really nice reel, $89.95, and they're not making them anymore. Then they've got the Sargus spinning reels, also from Penn, for $49.95 and up, depending on the size. Trolling rod combos from $79.95 and up. All the ugly sticks are on sale and much, much more at Clyde Sports Shop. Don't forget, they got everything for fishing, for perch, for panfish, for trout, live bait, tackle, licenses, rod and reel repair, you name it, Clyde's has it for fishing. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. They're open 7 days a week. Don't forget, they got a big supply of 223 ammo. Big supply, 223 ammo. Clyde Sports Shop, 242-6108. Website is clydesports.com. Fishing hotline, 247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse
near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
He showed me how to cast a line, where the whitetail live and how to read their sign. He'd lean my gun up against a tree so he could hold a barbed wire fence for me. Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said, one of these days, son, you'll be grown. Remember what I taught you and pass it on. Pass it on in the name of conservation.
All right, come on. Bernie Whitemarsh, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
What's up?
I wanted to know if there's an age where you don't have to buy a fishing license no more.
No.
You've got to buy it if you're 100, huh?
Yep. 65 years and older, it's only $5 for any kind of fishing you want to do in Maryland. But you still got to buy the license. $5, Bernie. Huh?
At what time? At 65?
65 or older in 20. If you if you turn 65 this year, you know, if you're
79.
Huh?
I'm 79.
$5.
Okay.
Next year, when you turn 80, Bernie? Next year, when you turn 80, it'll be $5. And 10 years from now, when you turn 90, it'll be $5.
$5, okay.
And 20 years from now, when you're 100,
it'll be.
Well, I don't know, but if they don't raise it, it'll be $5.
Yeah, I won't get that far.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See ya. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Wow. Hey, you can reach me anytime. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. That's the email address. My last name, E-L-L-I-S. My website, ellisoutdoors.com. And ellisoutdoors.com is information about me, about the show, about the sponsors. Got some links on there. You can find the Tide. I don't know if you can find the Tides on ellisoutdoors.com or not, but you can link to the other entities that Ellis Outdoors produces, like Maryland Loves Crabs and Maryland Hunting Quarterly. But you can also listen to the podcast any time of the day, 24/7, 365. And those podcasts go on there, like this week's show will show up on there like next, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, somewhere. But it takes not quite a week, but if you go to WCBM.com, I know it's on there usually on Tuesday or Wednesday. So we invite you to listen to the podcast of the show. We hope you like it. You can contact me through email if you'd like to become a sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show. If you have a business that you'd like to reach out to hunters or fishermen, we welcome your comments, and we'll be more than glad to get together with you and share the advertising rates with you as well. So that's pretty much it. Well, now we have a few minutes left here in the show. If you'd like to talk about yellow perch, you're welcome to do that. If you tuned in the last hour and you wanted to comment on some of the things we were talking about, the question I left you with was, why is it so difficult for people in the hunting and fishing world, and you know there's 500,000 fishermen and 80,000 hunters, something like that, here in Maryland, why is it so difficult for you to get involved in the political process? Do you think for some reason that your leadership in your organization is in Annapolis standing up for your rights? Question, do you think that? Answer, they're not. Okay, I mean we've got a anti-baiting law going in there now. Do you use corn power and mineral supplements for attracting deer to your land or to keep them on your land? Well, there's a bill in there to end that under certain circumstances. So, you know, who's standing up for the hunters? Who's standing up for your county when it comes to Sunday hunting or fall turkey hunting or whatever it might be? Well, there's nobody standing in the gap. Nobody. You might think there is. There isn't. And here's a broader question. If you belong to a conservation organization, is it a social club? Is it a fundraiser for conservation? Or is it a political organization that wants their voice heard in Annapolis? If it's a conservation group that has no interaction with policymakers, lawmakers, people in the General Assembly, senators and House members, then you can't expect your group to stand up for anything. But if you are, or you do have a political arm of your organization, then you should expect, and not only expect, but demand that someone stands up for you when issues come up that are in your face and not in your favor and want to restrict your rights or your access or your heritage or your, you know, the traditions of hunting and fishing. So maybe it's the fact that we just don't get enough information. How many times have I talked about having an overarching organization that gets out information to the sportsman? I feel like a lone voice out here. I really, really do. You know, and when I have to sit here and talk for minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes without any feedback from our listeners, it lets me know that I'm hitting home because people don't want to call and say, yeah, you're right, you know, nobody is standing up for us, and it's, you know, I got to work, I can't go to Annapolis, and, you know, I know when I'm hitting a nerve, let's put it that way, you know? So, and I don't have anybody calling and saying, oh, you're wrong, you know, and getting in a fight with me. So, you know, maybe I should, you want me to not say it? You want me to back off? You want me to quit haranguing you about it? You just want to talk about how to tie a knot or what lure to use? We can do that too. What do you think, Nick? Huh? Yeah. You know what I did? I made goose breast the other day. I had cooked a ham, like a shoulder, like a picnic, and I cooked it in Sierra Mist. You know, I mean, that's a great way. Just, you know, bake it in. You need a liquid, so instead of water, I used Sierra Mist, and it was a secret I got from the ladies at the church back where I used to go. Anyway, back in Pennsylvania, but anyway, they use Coke or something, but you can use any kind of soda. So, anyway, this thing cooked, and I had all that gelatin and stuff, you know, that jelly stuff. Well, I put that in a crock pot with some chicken broth, and I cooked goose breast in there. Oh, they turned out very nice. So I chopped them up, and I added some gravy, and I stirred them up, and put them on the pan, and I stirred them up, and I ate the goose gravy over mashed potatoes. That was good. Let's talk to Julie in Hamilton. Good morning, Julie. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm great. What's going on?
I have a question. I know you're going to think it's silly.
Not really.
My brother goes hunting for deer every fall in upstate New York with a bunch of buddies.
Yeah.
But he never catches anything.
Well, do you really think he's deer hunting?
I don't know, but I always, every Christmas, I want to get him something that's related to hunting.
Yeah.
I can never think of anything because, I mean, he don't catch anything, so, and his wife swears his bullets might be rusty by now.
That's very possible.
You know, and maybe I should just buy him a supply of new bullets.
I'll tell you what you could buy him. You could buy him now, upstate New York, it's pretty cold up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could buy him a nice base layer for underneath his clothes to keep him warm.
Okay, good idea. So a piece of clothing would...
Yeah, a piece of clothing would be great. And something that he can put on under his clothes. Or get him a nice pair of... find out what pair of pants he wears and get him a nice pair of insulated pants to wear under his hunting stuff.
That's a good idea. Then I should stick to clothing because... I was thinking of, like, a knife for skinning. I mean, I'm not a hunter, so I don't
know. Sure, a knife would be, you know, knives are always great.
Yeah,
I mean, depending on how much...
Catch anything. I don't see the need of spending money on something like that.
Maybe he's not a very good hunter, or maybe he goes in a place where there's not very many deer.
I don't know. We have a suspicion that he just likes to get with the boys and drink beer and shoot the breeze. But we can't prove it because nobody goes to follow, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why he goes to upstate New York, so nobody follows him. That's why my uncles went to hunting camp back in Pennsylvania for a week. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, nice. But
yeah, I mean,
relating to what you're talking about,
yeah, there's,
we agree with you. I don't think enough people get involved.
I'm going to give you a song to listen to.
Okay.
Okay, can you go online?
Yes.
There's a group called Da Youpers, D-A-Y-O-O-P-E-R-S, Da Youpers.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Go on there, go to their website, and find the song, The Second Week of Deer Camp.
Okay.
Second week of deer camp. And then you call me back next week after you hear it, and you tell me if that resembles your brother.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Bye-bye. There she goes. All right. I'm just waiting for the music. I'm worn out. I hate talking about politics, but you know what? The folks in Annapolis, they're relentless, you know. If they can add a fee or if they can make a restriction or if they can, you know, you got to understand how a bill gets introduced. Somebody puts pressure on a member of the legislature. They don't just come up with this anti-hunting stuff or this crazy stuff unless somebody suggests it to them. Why would you want to power dredge for oysters above the Bay Bridge and above the Kent Narrows Bridge when there's no oysters anyway? I guess some waterman influenced some lawmaker to put in a bill that will allow them to do that, knowing full damn well there's no oysters there. And then the lawmaker asked such a question as, well, if there's no oysters there, Mr. Department of Natural Resources man, what harm would it do to allow the waterman to go up there and drag? If you're trying to establish a population of oysters or conserve what's there, why would you want to go in there and power dredge, if you even know what that means, the last one of them out of there? Fascinating. Fascinating process. Senators and House members that are absolutely clueless or willfully ignorant, or not ignorant but willfully deceptive.